Welcome to the Leadership Forum Podcasts. This episode is a recording of the live session that happens on alternate Mondays on Hope FM's mid-morning show, featuring the Bishop of Christ is the Answer Ministries, Reverend Dr. David Oginde, hosted by Wamboi Mburu.
Go to the Leadership Forum where we left it last time.
Right. That would be good.
Do we go on with the other part of our Leadership Forum as we've been the series?
Yes.
On organizational politics.
Yes, we left when we were discussing sycophancy. Mm-hmm. As we were looking at negative political tactics, negative politics. We started with sycophancy, and I think we had some quite extended discussion on the same, on what sycophancy means and how people use it within leadership and organizations. The other one I would like to bring is what we call undercutting. It's a negative politics, or a political tactic.
Undercutting.
Undercutting. I think people understand what undercutting means. And there are several ways people do this, really to stop another person from progressing. That's what it really means. It is not I progressing, but stopping another person from progressing. So when we are within an organization, we may have this person, whether as followers or leaders, who you do not want to move forward. You don't want them to progress. And so you come up with ways and means, stumbling blocks that you put on their path so that they do not progress in their career, in the organization, and so on. So as I said, it could either be from the side of the followers, colleagues, you know, who do not want you to progress, and therefore they come up with issues, blocks on your path, and make sure that you don't progress. Some of the tactics people use is like false accusation. They just generate a story, you know, so-and-so is like this and like the other, so that you are put in bad light, and that will stop you from moving forward. And we see that in the story of Haman and Mordecai. Mm-hmm. You know, Mordecai was really progressing, but Haman was also progressing, but he didn't like Mordecai, especially because he was not recognizing him. So he comes to the king and creates a story about this man Mordecai, you know, and his people, so that he could be stopped from moving forward. That is undercutting, a false accusation, creating a story. And the king actually issued a decree that was to totally annihilate Mordecai and his people. And there are people who will do that. They will go to the boss and create a story against you and say, you know, so-and-so, I had them saying this, I had them doing this. You know that thing that failed, it is so-and-so who caused it to fail. And you are put in bad light. That is undercutting. Sometimes another tactic that people use is exclusion. You exclude the person that you don't want to progress from critical meetings, from critical projects, you know, so that they are not in the know. You just hear that things are happening and you don't know when they happened, when they were discussed. And as I said, again, this could be from the followers, your fellow colleagues, or from the leader. You know, the leader just excludes you, leaves you out of the picture of what is happening, so that when a promotion comes or when an appointment comes, nobody thinks about you because you are out there and you are left out of crucial functions. Again, that's undercutting, really stopping your progress. A very interesting story that I find that may relate to this is Peter and John. Very interesting.
Which one?
Peter and John. In John chapter 20, 21. I think it's John chapter 21. This is, if you remember the incident where after the resurrection, Jesus comes and prepares a breakfast, mm-hmm, for the disciples.
Yes.
And confronts Peter. Do you love me? Yes.
Mm.
So after that whole discussion with Peter, then the Bible says Peter and Jesus left. And they are walking And Peter looks back and sees John following. And he asks Jesus, what is this guy doing here? You know, it's like, what is he up to? And it is a very interesting incident.
It is.
Because what makes it even more interesting is that it is John who reports it. It is not found in any of the other Gospels. And the way John reports it is what I also find interesting. Because Peter sees this, Peter sees John coming, and he asks the Lord, who is this? And what does he want, you know?
What about him?
But God, Jesus answered, what is it to you? You know, if I want him to remain until I come. And so John says, then there was a rumor around, going around that Jesus had said he would not die until Jesus comes. That John would not die until Jesus comes. Now, in chapter 21, verse 24, John goes ahead to say, this is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. And we know that his testimony is true.
Yeah.
Now he's talking about himself, that he saw these things happen, and he recorded it, and his testimony is true.
It's true.
From a leadership perspective, is a very interesting dynamic that is going on there. We need to remember that John and James had initially come to Jesus to ask one to sit on the left and the other one to sit on the right.
Before it is the same John.
It is the same John. Is the same John. Now Peter seems to now have had his chance because they have reconciled with Jesus. And now they are moving. And this is John also coming, and he's wondering, this guy, what is he up to? And he seems to want to have an exclusive relationship with Jesus. And that's why he asks, what about this? But Jesus says, what's the problem? You know, let him come, as it were. So that's why I'm saying, if you look at it from a leadership political dynamics, you see that the relationship between John and Peter that is happening there is very interesting. And John is the one who records it and says his testimony is true. Which is, according to scriptures, actually should not be acceptable, but we have to accept it as it is recorded. So sometimes people want this exclusive relationship with the boss or with to exclude other people. It's like Peter is saying, I have just come from a revival. Been just restored. I'm having a one-on-one with Jesus. What is John coming to do here? And he wants John to be excluded from that. I wouldn't say that it is a very good example, but it does show how sometimes we act as human beings, which I think also makes the Bible so real, because we see the humanness
of these people,
of these great men and women of God. So exclusion is a tactic that people have used. There is a very critical meeting that has been called, and nobody tells you. You just hear that things have happened, decisions have been made, and you are not part of it. And so you cannot progress. So it is part of undercutting as a political tactic that people use. The other one is still undercutting, is upstaging.
What is that?
Upstaging.
Up and stage.
Upstage, one word.
Okay.
Upstage is one word.
Right.
Upstage is to run ahead of somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, for those of us who drive you, this has happened to me more than once. I mean, you've been going around town looking for parking, and finally you find this parking. And somebody comes from behind you, overtakes you very fast, and enters the parking you had
spotted.
You have just spotted.
For yourself.
For yourself as you're preparing to go in. It really feels so bad. And they pretend they have not seen you. they sometimes they stay in the car a little so that you can pass, so that you don't have to have a confrontation. But that's upstaging. An opportunity that was rightfully yours, but somebody runs ahead and takes it. Or an opportunity that is about to come, but they work their ways to get it without giving others the chance to also participate in that process. That's what I call upstages. It's part of undercutting. And it's a gimmick, a tactic that people use in organizations. And this is bad politics. Mm. You know, it's bad politics. You know, there's this opportunity that is coming. Maybe you even know who should really be best qualified to get it. But you run to the boss and say, you know, I don't know whether this is such a chance that will ever come. But should this come, I would be very interested. And you know the chance is there. You have heard rumors, you know. And you begin to behave in a manner likely to suggest that you are the best qualified to get this job. And that's what James and John, as it were, did. Jesus says he's going to Jerusalem, and in their mind he was going to set up the kingdom. And so they go ahead of the other disciples. And the Bible says the other disciples, when they learned, they were so angry. Because these people had upstaged them. You know, they didn't allow this thing to be advertised, and there would be a competitive selection as to who is going to sit on the left and the right. And they go to Jesus and say, could you have one of us sit on the left? And they were brothers. That's what made it even worse. So people can act that way. And all this is part of undercutting. And there are many other tactics. But basically, in undercutting is to stop others, deny people opportunity, put stumbling blocks in their progress, and so on. The worst is when the leader does that. It's even worse. Where you know that there's this opportunity coming. The right person who should get this opportunity is so and so, but you don't like them because maybe like Micaiah, they don't profess good things about you. So you find ways to bypass them and just leave them out. So that's very sad when leaders do that, but it's part of it. Another one is using the trump card. What I call using the trump card is pulling a fast one, you know? When somebody thinks that really they are making good progress and you know something about them or about whatever it is, but you let them keep going and keep going, and when they are just about to jump, you pull this one out and say, by the way, did you consider this? And this really, both followers and leaders use this, you know, that you don't like the leader, and so you let them keep going in the wrong direction, only at the last minute to be able to ask them or bring out this issue. Or the other way around, you allow this person to just keep going, and finally, they find that they're in the wrong place, and you pull out something that they just have to say, well, I give up. It's another political game that
like what? I think it's not too clear. Like what? Give us an example.
If I go back to the Bible, which is common, because I try not to use our own political games. But they are there all the time. Mm. Yeah, they are all the time. This is again not a very good one, but I think it does give the picture. Paul is arrested in Acts, I think, chapter 22, mm-hmm. and he's just about to be flogged and taken into prison. Then, as they prepare to flog him, he asks a simple question. Is it right to flog a Roman citizen without giving him a chance of trial? And these people are stopped on their tracks because Roman citizenship was a very serious, serious thing. So they could not do it.
Mm.
And that stopped these people right on their tracks. They could not proceed. So they ask him, so, are you a Roman citizen? I say, yes. Mine I didn't even acquire, you know. He begins to tell them that my citizenship is a serious one, a deep one. And so because of that, they have to stop what they were doing. In this case, Paul uses it positively. But you see, it is like a card, I think what our former president used to call a secret weapon, you know, that is just pulled at the last minute. And it puts you in total disarray.
Mm.
So there are people who will know something about you or some information that they just hold and they release it at the right moment and it puts you in disarray. You do not know what to do at that point because you are not even thinking
in that.
About it.
Yeah.
So you do not have an immediate defense on the matter because it is so real, it is a fact, you just have to leave it.
Okay.
Like these people could no longer flog Paul, you know, because he has come up and said, I am a Roman citizen. I have some rights as a Roman citizen. You cannot just flog me and put me in. And so these people had to abandon their course. That's why I say it is used positively here, but it can also be used negatively against an individual.
Mm.
So that's what I'm calling the trump card that people use.
All right.
They just they leave you to keep going and then at the appropriate time
just pull something.
Pull something and
you can do nothing or say nothing.
Done. Yes.
Okay. All right.
The fourth or is it fifth now?
Because we are coming from psychophancy.
Yes, well, we had psychophancy, we had undercutting, we have trump card.
And upstaging.
And upstaging.
Okay, number five.
No, upstage is part of undercutting.
Oh, all right.
Yes.
Then we go to number four.
The divide and rule. I'm sure every Kenyan knows that one.
That one we really know. Divide and rule.
Yes.
Okay.
Divide and rule is... When one feels that there's this group that seems to have a cause that is very strong, then you move in between them and try and create a coalition among them. Not a coalition, but a coalition. So that they don't agree. You know, like what God did at the Tower of Babel. When the people were so united, but on a wrong course. So God comes and messes up their language. And they had to abandon the project, you know, because they could no longer understand one another. And so in this case also, the leader particularly comes in and divides a united group that is pursuing something. And say, you know, there's something you don't know about so-and-so, about or this other group. Did you know that this? And say, what? You know? And so you are left fighting among yourself. And the leader moves on with whatever they were doing. I see that again in Acts chapter 23, where Paul used this very effectively. Mm. Again, he's in trouble with this crowd that has come against him. And the Bible says he knew that there were Sadducees and Pharisees. And they had different positions on the matter of resurrection.
Mm.
So he says, you know, men and brethren, I am being arrested here and flogged because of my belief in the resurrection. You know? And so
divides them.
When he raises that matter of resurrection, these people who are so united against him now are divided, because the Sadducees believed one thing and the Pharisees believed another thing on the matter of resurrection. And as a result of that, the crowd can no longer be united against Paul, because one now wants to defend him because he believes like them. The other group is still against him because he doesn't believe like them. So the crowd is divided and nothing happened. And so this again is a tactic that a negative tactic that people use within organizations to upstage others, you know, to kind of get their way in the same. So it's when used negatively, it's a terrible thing. I think the last one I would say in this negative politics is manipulation, which many people are aware of. In the scriptures, I think the height of it is Delilah and Samson, where Delilah is sent to get this secret of Samson's strength. And Delilah really pretends to be a very good friend of Samson and wants to know information. Why are you hiding this from me? You said you love me, but you really don't. But when she gets the information, she uses it against him. So manipulative people, they will do whatever they can to get wherever they want. They will use whatever trick they can to get wherever they want to go. And this is again a political gimmick that people use in organizations, and the leader needs to be fully aware. So these are negative political tactics that we need to be aware of.
That they happen,
and when they happen, I pray that we don't use them ourselves, our listeners don't employ the same tactics, but just being aware that these are gimmicks that people play to get power, to get promotion, to get whatever they want within the organization.
All right. Two questions maybe before we go to some more positive.
Yes. We have a positive side.
A positive list.
Yes.
I'm eager.
You want the positive.
Yes, I am. But before we leave these negative ones, two quick questions. The first one, what is the Christian way of dealing with it? When it finally, you know, you could be it could totally take you by surprise that kind of a thing could be happening to you. But so now listening to you and you realize that, so that's a name to give it. You finally
it has
realize,
been happening and you didn't know.
You just didn't have a name and you didn't know.
But happened. You knew something was happening.
You just knew something was wrong. You just didn't know. So now finally you can put a name to it. It's organizational politics, and it comes in the name, let's say, of undercutting.
Yes.
As a Christian, how do you deal with it?
I think we go back to where we started with the whole issue of politics. And we said Jesus gave the advice, if I would call it, on how we should operate. That we must not be naive, we must be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves. So, wisdom is required in every place. The worst thing that a person can do is to react, which is usually the natural thing. You discover somebody's undercutting you, somebody's manipulating you, or somebody's doing all these things. The natural thing is to react, you know? But reaction will not get you there, because these people, in most cases, they have planned over time. They have thought through this process. And so your reaction might just get you into where they want you to be. You know? So you may not succeed. Mm. So as a Christian, first thing is we always must pray. And seek God's mind. What do I do in this situation? This is what these people are doing to me, or this person is doing to me. How do I handle it? And God will give you wisdom on what to do. Sometimes what to do is nothing. You know, that may be the wise thing to do. But now you know what this person is doing, and just do nothing. Let them go ahead. You know, and finally look at the battle at Ai. You know, in the book of Joshua, the children of Israel, the army of Israel, goes to Ai the first time round, and of course, because they did not seek the face of God, they did not have the strategy that God would have used to take that city. So they go out there and they are beaten, they are killed, and they come back crying. Of course, God reveals to them why they were defeated, and it is finished. Now they are told to go back. Now God gives them a very interesting strategy and tells them, because Ai knows and believes you are weak, use that weakness to overcome them. So let an army, a part of the army, go to Ai the same way you went the first time. They will just say, these guys are here again. You know? And when they come out, run away.
As though you are truly afraid.
Afraid. And they will come out following you and fighting you. But let there be another group behind. When they run out of the city following the first group, the second group comes and burns down the city. And sometimes that's the strategy that God may give you. Know, play along, you know. This guy is taking you this way and that way and the other way. But because you have prayed to the Lord, God will give you a strategy. And one of it is just to play along. And then at the right time, do what God tells you to do. And they may be very, very surprised. Look at what Esther did in the Mordecai story. Esther and Mordecai and Haman. Again, Esther behaves as if she doesn't know what Haman is doing. Even invites him to a party in her house with the king. And Haman, in his foolishness or in his cleverness, he thinks, this thing is really working. You know, this is working.
Yeah.
Only for Esther to pull a fast one on him. The gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai are actually used on him. So I would say, as a Christian, the place of prayer is very important. Seeking the face of God and finding out, Lord, what would you have me do in this situation? Now that I see what is happening. The worst thing you can do is to react. Fight everybody, kick tables, close shut, bang doors, and the rest. That's where they wanted you anyway, you know, at that stage. So find out, what does God want us to do in this situation?
All right. A second one. I had said I would ask two. Then we quickly go to the positive tactics. Supposing I wasn't innocent
of what you are being accused of?
I'm thinking of a situation where a person may actually find themselves, what did you call it? Upstaging, I think.
Yes.
Exclusion, undercutting.
Yes.
Exclusion. Supposing I found myself in this, but very sincerely, if a sincere search were done, it would be found that I was actually only causing trouble.
Who are you? Are you the one doing it?
No, I'm being excluded.
Yes.
But including me in some place may mean so much trouble that therefore I got excluded. So I'm saying,
yes,
I wasn't that innocent. You know, innocence as a dove, first of
yes,
all.
Yes, and yes, then, yes.
So supposing I wasn't, this part of being innocent as a dove
then you see
is lacking.
That I would not call the. It's not the exclusion we are talking about here,
mm.
because that is on the part of the people who are doing it. It's not a political trick. It is a
diving forth here.
No, it is okay. not because you don't qualify anyway. You will be a trouble. So the reason we are excluding you is not because. We are afraid of you getting the job, or we don't want you to get the job, but you qualify, is because we don't think you are the right person to get that job. That is not the exclusion we are talking about here. The exclusion we are talking about here is where you actually qualify, you are the right person, but we don't want you.
Okay.
So we find ways of making sure you are not even part of those we are considering.
So that is different.
That's why it is a negative. The other one is actually a positive.
Okay.
Because in terms of management, you do not want to give a job to a person who is not competent, who will not deliver. So if we exclude that person, it is not exclusion. It is part of leadership. It is a positive thing.
And that's a thin line.
No, it is not thin.
What makes it thin is who decides. Because
who decides? It is not who decides.
Who decides that I'm a
It is not who decides.
Yeah.
It is the motive of the decision.
All right.
What is driving the decision?
Okay.
The driving force behind the decision is that this person does not qualify. Why waste our time to even include them? They don't qualify. So it is not an exclusion. That is the driving force. So we look for other people who qualify. But the other one, this person qualifies, but we are afraid. We don't want her or him to get this job for whatever reason. So how do we make sure that this person doesn't get this job?
Mm.
Let's not even invite her for interview.
But to an onlooker, just an observer,
yes.
who doesn't have the details,
yes.
it might look the same.
It may look the same, but it is not the same.
Okay.
Because we are looking at the motive here.
So you leave it to God who knows the secrets of men.
Yes, so even if you go to God and cry there and say, you know, they have excluded me, even God will show you that, my dear.
Something was the matter.
This one is not yours.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so that is not the exclusion we are talking about here.
Okay, understood.
Yeah.
Understood.
Psycho
positive?
Maybe there are some questions. People
are stuck with the earlier session, and I don't want to go back there for today. what I have, Bishop, I do not want to go back to
because
it.
Because I don't know whether we should start on the positives. I'm saying we have only just about 7 minutes.
Let's look at just one.
It will
help us wind up on a positive
note. On a positive note. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. let me just look at. Positive is really about creating the way you conduct yourself within the organization, making it easy for people or for your colleagues, your leader, or if you are the leader yourself, for your followers to be able to appreciate who you are and thus provide you with the relevant opportunities. So when we are looking at positive actions, we are looking at building a relationship around yourself, building a clout, as it were, around yourself, that if, say, for example, a promotion was to come, people will naturally say, I think Wamboi ought to get that job, okay? Because of the way you interact with the leaders, the way you interact with your colleagues, the way you do your work, and all that. That is what will get you to where you ought to go. Because, you see, the politics we are talking about here is about progress, is about position, is about power, if you use the three P's, you know. So how can you progress positively? How can you gain power positively? This is what we are talking about. How can you get promotion positively without getting into manipulation and all these undercuttings and things? That's what we are talking about. So there are things that one can be able to do in order for them to be able to get to where they want to go. One of them is something we had mentioned some time back, is create the right relationship with your leader if you are a follower. Recognize that your leader or your boss is an important and influential person in your life, and they determine where you go and where you do not go. So you do not want to fight and constantly be fighting with your leader, because they can make or break your career. And that's, if you remember when we talked about this, we talked about the sheep and the shepherd.
Mm.
You know, the sheep doesn't want to be hitting the shepherd all the time. You could be slaughtered. And that's what we are talking about. At the same time, the shepherd doesn't want to fight with the sheep all the time. The sheep can also gang up against you
and hit you bad.
And they hit you bad.
With the head.
Yes. So you want to create a relationship with your leader in a way that is conducive. It helps people to appreciate who you are and the relationship that you have with them. So how you do that, therefore, will determine whether you progress without having to manipulate anybody, without having to do all those negative things that we talked about. One is be updated with the goings on in the organization. Don't be an ignorant person. So be updated with where the organization is going. What are what is the vision? The new thing that is happening, the direction that the boss wants or the board wants, and align yourself, therefore, with that direction. And do what you can on your part to seek to fulfill that. It naturally puts you in good light. And this is to be differentiated from the friendliness and sycophancy that we talked about earlier. This is simply doing your work in the way you ought to do it, in an objective manner, to try and achieve the mission of the organization, and using good work ethic, it will definitely get you ahead of the pack.
Mm.
Because every organization wants people who are running with their vision and with their mission. So if you do that, that will get you ahead, and it will both with your colleagues, those who are objective, of course, and with your leaders, whoever they are.
And yet, listening to you on that,
yes,
which is a positive tactic, I'm thinking, you know, those people that Jesus said that they ought rather to say, well, I was only doing what I should have done.
Exactly.
I think this is what any good worker ought to do.
And that is,
so supposing we all are good workers,
be a better worker. They are good workers, but they are better workers.
Better and best.
Yes.
All right.
Be the best that you can be.
Okay.
You will never progress in an organization if you are only giving the bare minimum or just good. You know, in an evaluation sheet, good is usually in the middle.
Mm,
it is damage. Never at the end, you know.
Mm.
So there is poor,
fair,
good, I know, and others.
And excellent.
And excellent and all that. So don't aim at being good.
All right.
Aim at being excellent in whatever you do. And it is not just for the possible reward, but just because that is your work ethic. That is what you believe in.
All right.
It will get you there.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Leadership Forum, Leading Through Conflict. These episodes are a collection of sessions we have archived over time at Hope FM. To catch the latest live discussions of the Leadership Forum, tune in to Hope FM every Monday at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. East African Time. on www.hopemediakenya.org or watch live on Facebook and YouTube at Hope FM Live. Join us again on the next episode to get leadership nuggets on the Leadership Forum, brought to you by Friends of Hope, keeping hope alive.